Blog Talk Radio.
Batting down the hatches at the Throwdown on Thursday. It's a Doc Talk podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Dr. Greg Roscoe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631. 60 minutes goes by quicker than Dan Rather doing 60 minutes. If you happen to miss it, archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platform, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, Doc the Threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you're bringing a legend through your show as well every week, and I'm so blessed to produce this. I'll man the boards and see you in about 30.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you again for the great introduction. People can get a hold of me, gjrmd308@outlook.com. That's basically the easiest way. We have staffing, and we have people to help us get back and, of course, answer your emails. Tonight, we have a very interesting guest. We have a doctor who is a chiropractor. She has a specialty in nutritional, as a nutritionist or a nutritional practitioner. She does practice in the Pittsburgh area. Her name is Dr. Caitlin Narduli. Good evening, Caitlin. Thank you for being with us.
And, hi, Dr. You know, Greg. What we wanted, thank you so much for having me.
No problem, Caitlin. It's great to have you. And we should have some fun on the show tonight. You know, we've been talking about the GI tract, the gastrointestinal tract. And, you know, over the last couple of shows, we've had a gastroenterologist, Dr. Raj Malik, from the Washington, D.C. area, you know, where we've talked about the liver function, the gallbladder, the pancreas, the GI tract. And we talked about it, you know, at our prior shows, we talked about diseases and maladies and cancer of that organ. We kind of turned it around over the last couple of weeks and talked about the health of the organ. What do these organs do? You know, what's their purpose in the state of health? What should they produce? And we've had a lot of good comments, and we had a lot of good discussion. Along those same lines tonight, with regard to the GI tract, Caitlin has a very interesting practice, and the name of her practice is Flourish Wellness Practice. And she handles maladies now that are pretty darn common pretty much every day. However, they are very important to our well-being. And, you know, if we talk about some of the basic maladies that we all can suffer from, we talk about constipation, diarrhea, bloating, acid reflux, weight loss, weight gain, brain fog, pain in our stomach, irritable bowel syndromes, inflammatory bowel disease. So we have a variety of things that when our bowels are not functioning properly or a little bit out of kilter, and we're not talking about cancer, we're talking about everyday dysfunction and, you know, what our diets bring to this. And the big thing is, how do we feel good? You know, what's the best way to approach our diet, you know, what we eat nutritionally, and keep our gut in good health? And Caitlin has some very good ideas about all this. Caitlin, do you want to pick the ball up and let's talk about, you know, the gut, the stomach, the GI tract, and what you see people coming to you for? Can you help us with that?
Absolutely. I treat a lot of patients. You kind of already summarized it for belly bloat, irritable bowel symptoms, constipation, diarrhea, and even food sensitivities, as well as abdominal pain and all of those uncomfortable GI symptoms that can arise.
Yes. And
we usually
help
patients get to the root cause of these symptoms by using the GI MAP functional gut test. This is a stool analysis, a DNA-based stool test that provides a lot of great insight into the microbial balance of the gut, the digestive capacity of the gut, and the overall health of your gut.
Wow. And, you know, Caitlin, when we talk about this, you know, I think you said several words that are very interesting. And I think the one word, which I think is very important, is root cause. What's the root cause of these symptoms? And that's what you try to delve into, correct? If someone calls your practice and says, hey, you know, I know she deals with the gut. I have bloating, you know, and they go on with these symptoms. Your people and you as well try to get to the root cause, correct? What's causing this?
Absolutely. We look at a patient's symptoms. We consider their health history very carefully. And then we move into these functional lab tests to look at the root cause or any areas of dysfunction that could be driving these problems. And then our holistic healing plans are designed to help, you know, heal and restore balance to any problem areas that could be driving these uncomfortable symptoms.
You know, with regard to how you do this, you know, Caitlin, in medicine, and I think you have the same type of a program, you know, we talk about four pillars. And, you know, the four pillars being, number one, you know, history, listening to the patient. Number two, examining the patient, physical examination. Number three, doing diagnostic testings. And then number four, decision making. And I think you do the same thing. You know, someone calls in to your clinic and they're saying, you know, I have these, you know, maladies. Bingo. Do you bring them in? You know, as far as telling our listeners, Caitlin, do you bring them into your clinic and start the process at that point? You know, how do you do it? You know, let our listeners know, what can they expect if they come to your clinic in Pittsburgh?
For sure. So on the functional lab testing, on the gut healing end of things, I can work with patients both in person and remotely. The beauty of these functional lab tests is they can be drop shipped straight to your home. You can collect them in the comfort of your home, and your results can be sent directly back to the lab. So with that being said, I mean, these functional lab tests get delivered to my patient's home. They complete them. And whether it's in person or via video call, we do walk through a really detailed health history. We go through a review of symptoms. We look at the results of these functional lab tests. And that's how we begin to customize holistic healing recommendations for each individual patient. We always try to tailor those recommendations to their unique needs.
So that overall, you may be able to save your patient a trip into Pittsburgh to see you, where you can do things on a remote basis and still give them good care, even though they're in a distant county or a distant state.
Absolutely. That's why I designed, you know, the gut restoration program, because it allows me to help patients walk through an organized 12-week program to slowly start implementing holistic lifestyle recommendations, small tweaks, small shifts to start healing the gut through different means like diet, proper rest, recovery, and repair, proper exercise, tapping into the body's detoxification pathways, managing stress and inflammation, and even supplement recommendations.
Wow. You know, and that's part of your whole program with getting these people healthy again. You really cover a lot of bases. You know, Caitlin, we've talked on the show before, you know, about good health and, you know, what does good health consist of? And I think you've hit all the boxes here from, you know, the diet, you know, what we take in does definitely affect our nutritional status and our health status of our gut. And, you know, of course, the rest, the exercise. And, you know, as far as another thing, which I think is excellent, is the word detox. You want to talk a little bit about detoxifying someone, what that's all about? Can you help us with that?
Absolutely. Whenever we're talking about gut health, I always like to ask my patients to think like a first grader. And I ask them, what does the gut do? It should digest our food and bring in nutrients, right?
Yep.
And it should detox. It should remove waste. And eliminating constipation, improving your gut health, is one of the best ways to increase your body's detoxification capacity. We have 8 detox pathways, but, I mean, at the end of the day, they're all super important, but the liver and the gut are 2 of the biggest. So we always need to love on those 2 detox pathways and keep them moving.
Wow. And so that, you know, with regard to the positive approach or an active approach, that we're going to ask them to do things with diet, of course, and then we'll get to supplements, but exercise and rest, you know, we want to clean out toxins that, you know, basically are lying dormant in our body. Kaylin, are we talking about detoxing, you know, from the foods, the nutrition, things we're taking in? What are we trying to detox?
That's another great question. Absolutely. I mean, not to sound overdramatic, but we do live in a highly toxic world. There's herbicides and pesticides. There's fake fragrances. There's lots of different chemicals that can be endocrine disruptors. They can throw off the balance of different systems of health within the body. They can stress the gut. So we want to make sure that your body is detoxing any of those day-to-day toxins that you might come in contact with. Other toxins can also reside deeper in the body, such as heavy metals. You may or may not know that you have them, but that's a much deeper detox, and exercising those pathways can also help to rid the body of harmful agents like that.
Wow. So that overall we could be carrying toxins in our body that really we're not really aware of, but it may add to, say, the situation not feeling good. I think in, you know, you talk about feeling like crap, and that can make us feel like that, correct?
Oh, yeah. Those toxins can build up, and they can lead to the development of leaky gut. They can drive that constant fatigue and fogginess that patients might be feeling even after they've slept a full night's sleep. So, those toxins can really bog down the system.
Wow. And, you know, I think in general also, you know, we're very much aware today of, you know, autoimmune disease and things like that. But a lot of that can come from the gut, an unhealthy gut, or the leaky gut can lead to different neurologic problems as well as immunologic problems. Do you find that to be true in your practice?
Absolutely. And actually, my own autoimmune journey is what led me to practicing functional diagnostic nutrition. And ultimately, yeah, my own autoimmune struggles is what led me to understand the power of gut health in the management of autoimmune conditions. It's super impactful.
Wow. And, you know, what is the current research, you know, that you're using and you're developing, you know, your protocol for your clinic? You know, where do you find good data?
Yeah, we're always looking for that evidence-based research. Different articles that might be peer-reviewed. The beauty of the internet is awesome because a lot of that very reliable, trustworthy information is right at our fingertips as long as you're making sure that it's sourced from reliable places. And as I mentioned, the GI MAP functional gut test that we use in our practice, it's actually the first pathogen assay to be FDA approved. It's still the gold standard for academic research across the U.S. whenever they're studying GI pathogens and microbial detection. So this is a very widely used and highly respected lab test.
So that you have that, you know, that tool, so to speak, in your toolbox. When you mention leaky gut, you know, my emails, I've got several emails here. You know, using, say, leaky gut, if we try to define that, and again, overall, we know that our gut, our intestine, absorbs water, nutrients, things like that, has that permeability. But the leaky part of this is that overall, some of this water, these nutrients, these even fecal materials can leak through the gut wall into the lining of the stomach and the abdomen. Is that correct?
Yeah. So whenever we talk about the gut lining, I like to explain this as your shield of armor. It's only allowing in the good micronutrients, the vitamins and minerals that we need for fuel, and it's keeping out any harmful particles like bacteria, viruses, chemical residues, the other things that you mentioned. So a healthy gut is like a healthy shield of armor. Leaky gut is whenever you start to get little holes in your shield of armor. And now quite literally we get this influx of harmful agents into the body, and the immune system has to clean up or take care of those harmful agents. And that's one of the biggest reasons that the immune system can get super stressed. It can lead to the development of autoimmune conditions and even food sensitivities.
So while the gut in good health is a good shield of armor for us, not for us to develop some of these autoimmune diseases and other digestive disorders. So the goal is to keep this gut healthy. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We got to keep the gut healthy for all other systems of health to be healthy.
Wow. And, you know, with regard to doing that, I think that's the beauty of what you do. How do you do gut restoration? You know, how do you make it healthy again? And then how do you know it's healthy? You know, what are the things
exactly
that you do?
Exactly. So we're all about testing and not guessing. The beauty of this functional lab test is we can run it. We can get very specific, and we can tailor and customize a holistic healing approach based on you and your unique needs and your unique lab results. We can put in the work. We can hone in on different diets, whether that be autoimmune paleo, low FODMAP, anti-candida. The lab tests help us fine-tune your diet for better healing. Again, we tap into those detox pathways. We see where your level of health is at, how much exercise is actually beneficial. We tap into regulating the nervous system and decreasing stress in the area of thoughts, the mental, emotional stress, the traumas and the toxins. And then we customize the supplement protocols, again, very much based on what your lab tests are telling us you need. And I would say the program is about 12 weeks on average for most patients. With holistic healing, we're looking at about 90 days, a 90-day protocol before we can expect reasonable, measurable change. And the beauty of these lab tests is we can go in and we can retest. It's very black and white. We can go ahead and we can measure if things are getting better or staying the same, and we can reevaluate and move forward from there.
Wow, so it's more of a continuum of care that, you know, we start at point A, and then we gather data and information based on that, then you're going to go ahead and put together treatment protocols for your patient. And then as you go down the pathway here, you can then recheck to see what these lab values look like, if they are improving, correct?
Absolutely. We always want to be seeing resolution or improvement if we're going to move forward with these holistic healing recommendations.
Got it. And, you know, we use the word holistic. The holistic refers to what? State of good health, reversing disease, when we use those words, what does that mean, Caitlin?
Yes, it definitely means good health. It means reversal of disease or potential symptoms. Whenever I say holistic, I also like to explain to patients that we're looking at natural supplements, healing with food, healing with lifestyle recommendations. As a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, I don't recommend pharmaceuticals. I don't recommend prescription medications. That's outside of my realm. So holistic meaning more supplement-driven, more lifestyle, dietary recommendations to use as a means of healing.
Sure. And, you know, having said all that, you know, those are big goals, you know, that in rehabilitating people with these gut problems. And, you know, are you able to reverse disease that someone may have using, you know, your restoration method? You know, does disease get better or do we just stop disease from worsening?
I think it depends on the specific disease. So, for example, celiac disease is a condition that we're not going to be able to really reverse or fully heal or eliminate. But there are things like leaky gut or irritable bowel that we have very high success rates with helping patients to fully heal and fully recover from. So I think it depends on the specific condition.
Got it. And no doubt if there are any comorbidities with the patient's health, you know, are they diabetic? Do they have Parkinson? Do they have any type of lymphoid problems? Or if they have some immunodeficiency? Or if they've had a cancer? That does change the whole probably outlook on what you're doing and what you need to do. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. We're always looking at the health of the host as a whole. So that's another part of holistic healing or this functional diagnostic nutrition that I do. We can certainly hone in on gut health, but another big thought process of the holistic healing realm is we need to treat the full body, look at the big picture, because all systems of health are very directly and closely interconnected.
Got it. So, you know, when we know that overall the gut, you know, from our mouth down through our intestines and colon, it's a lot of tissue. I think in one article we had looked at that volume of tissue in the lining of all this is almost 3,000 square feet. Tremendous amount of tissue absorption, and then, of course, tissue that needs healed. And, you know, when you start your healing process and, you know, you're mentioning the word supplements, what do the supplements try to do? What are you going after from a standpoint of healing? Do you start with inflammation? Do you start with healing the lining of the GI tract? What do you do? How do you do it? You know, what is your thought process here in this sequence of events?
Yeah, so supplements fulfill four basic needs for patients. They help to substitute. They substitute anything that might be lacking in diet. They help to support. Sometimes we need short-term support for healing. Maybe we find things in their health history that indicates there might be some long-term support needed. For example, maybe the gallbladder was removed. Third, supplements help to stimulate and upregulate different systems of health. And fourth, supplements can be used for self-treatment. If we see maybe microbial imbalances on the GI map, we can start to treat and restore balance with intellectual allopathy. So supplements fulfill those four basic needs, and we can use those and base recommendations off of specifically what's going on the GI map. We're always looking at rebalancing the healthy microbes and possibly removing any parasites or bad bugs in the gut. We're always looking at, again, decreasing inflammation. I know you just used that word.
Right.
We always need to reduce inflammation because the body can only heal in an uninflamed state. And I know we talked about leaky gut. Unfortunately, it's super common. It's not normal, but it's super common. So we oftentimes need to use specific supplements to restore our shield of armor.
Beautiful explanation. You know, using, you know, some terms here, you know, your GI map. Now, for our listeners, this GI map is diagnostic testing, correct? And we talk about this microbial assay that is done through a stool sample, correct? That's where the data comes from to analyze someone's gut. Am I correct in understanding your process?
That is correct. It's a DNA-based stool analysis. So we do collect a sample of stool. You do that in the comfort of your own home. You package that up and you send it back to Diagnostic Solutions Lab. That is the lab that has developed the GI map.
And within what, a week, 2 weeks, or is it a little longer testing period than that, Caitlin?
I tell my patients to allow about 10 to 14 days for the lab to process results. And then I usually take a couple additional days to analyze those results before I sit down with my patients either in person or via video call to walk through those results line by line and explain all the findings.
Sure. And, you know, with regard to, let's just say, on that GI map, what are the different categories one looks at? You know, are there a series of different areas that are looked at diagnostically, from microbial to nutritional to different elements we may be eliminating or missing?
Absolutely. I do love this test. Obviously, we're talking a lot about it, but it covers a lot of ground. It looks for pathogens, bacterial,
sure,
parasitic, and viral pathogens. I explain these as the bad bugs that can sneak in the mix. Might sound a little bit gross, but even something like sushi, a rare steak, swimming, or being in a pond or lake, these are all very easy ways that bad bugs can slip in and sneak into the system. So the test evaluates for that. It evaluates for H. pylori. This is a specific microbe that thrives in the stomach, and this can fuel heartburn, GERD, acid reflux. The GI map checks for all of the good bacteria that belongs in your gut. We should have over 100 trillion with a T, good microbes in our gut. There should be so many that it's making up, like, I think the statistics are 1 to 2 pounds of body weight. That's crazy, right?
Wow. That's tremendous.
So we want to make sure all of those good gut microbes are there and plentiful and strong. It also will evaluate the balance of those good microbes. I kind of explain this like a house party. We want all the good bacteria there, but we want to make sure that the house party is going well. No area of the house is getting too rowdy or too crazy. Patients may sometimes experience SIBO, S-I-B-O. That would be small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And that's an example of, like, the house party getting a little bit too wild.
Sure.
This test also evaluates for fungi and yeasts, even worms, and
well,
also some digestive
there,
markers. I'm sorry, say it again.
Wow. And, you know, along, say, with this test that you're doing, do you get, as far as just in general with any testing, do you ever get false positives or false negatives? Or is the testing system pretty accurate?
That's a great question. There's really no functional lab test that is 100%. But peer-reviewed research of Luminex technology, that's the tech used by Diagnostic Solutions for the GI map, was determined overall comparative performance and specificity and accuracy was found to be 94.5%. So
wow,
no
test
is 100%, but that's pretty darn tootin' good.
It's darn tootin' good. I think you put the right words out there. You know, Doctor, what I'd like to do, I have Mr. Mancini. He is in the studio in L.A., and he has a series of questions for us. If you don't mind, what if we go to the studio? Let's have Mr. Mancini field some of these questions for us, and let's see if we can answer them.
That sounds fun. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Mr. Mancini in L.A., what do you have?
Okay, let me throw two or three of them and get back to this, as this show is starting to pick up steam with you two guys, so I don't want to interrupt it too much, but let me get about two, three of these things out there. The first one, Dalen coming out of Chelmsford, Mass., regular listener. He said, what are the symptoms of a damaged digestive system?
Dr. Kalen, what do you see if you feel someone has a damaged system? What do they complain about?
So damage can mean multiple different things to multiple different patients, but, I mean, something like irritable bowel, right there, someone who could go from constipation to diarrhea to abdominal pains. If the system is very, very irritated and very, very sensitive and inflamed, that right there could be very indicative of a damaged system.
And, you know, what about someone has blood, you know, in their stool? Does that give us an indication also that maybe things aren't just great?
Absolutely. The GI map does check for occult blood in the stool. And if we do see any blood show up on the GI map, patients are immediately referred out to their doctor to request a colonoscopy to make sure that, again, the hardware, the plumbing of the gut is healthy and intact, because there should never be blood in your stool. That would certainly indicate maybe some damage or a very unhealthy gut state.
Beautiful. And, you know, Doctor, if we can just reflect on this, you know, with your GI map testing, and no doubt there's other testings that could be done also with a stool, do they recognize blood in the specimen if indeed there is blood?
Yes, the GI map does show any occult blood. So that is a finding that we look for on this test.
Wonderful. All right. So we know that, you know, a couple of things are going on here, Mark, that when the gut is not working healthy, as she said, you know, you can have quite a variety of symptoms. Go ahead, Mark.
Let me get two more in here, and then I'll give it back to you. Kenneth from Peoria says, is there any symptoms of bowels shutting down?
Ooh, I'm not sure what that means. Doctor, do you have an idea what that means?
I'm not sure exactly what that means, but that would not be good, because remember that the bowel is bringing in nutrients that we need for survival and removing waste. So if it's suspected, if a patient isn't sure, I would recommend getting it checked quite quickly, because we need that bowel working.
And, you know, Doctor, are there times when you have patients calling in or coming in that you may say, you know, rather than me running a test, let me get you over to a gastroenterologist first to take a look at everything and to make sure that there's nothing more serious going on? Does that ever happen?
On occasion, yes. Sometimes if patients have a history of ulcerative colitis, or they have a history of, yes, blood in their stool, sometimes
yeah.
I do refer them to make sure that, again, the hardware is healthy, and I'm
yep.
more than happy to co-treat, but sometimes it's really important that we go a little deeper and we investigate with a
sure.
gastroenterologist before moving forward with holistic healing recommendations.
So you do a team approach, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Go ahead, Mark.
Last one, and I'll give it back to you, and I'll see you in, about 5 minutes left in the show. Bill, coming in from Spokane, Washington, says, how do you know if your gut is inflamed? I would probably try to guess maybe don't eat spicy foods.
That's one way. And, Doctor, how would you know? How would a patient know if they've got inflammation? No doubt they'd have some pain. They may have some bouts of diarrhea, right, constipation, that have some reflux, you know, things like that, correct? That'd be our indicators.
Exactly. Absolutely correct. And I know we made a joke about it, but spicy food could very well inflame the system for certain patients.
Absolutely. You have any more, Mark? You have another one?
I'll put them together, and I'll get back to you with about next 15 minutes so you guys can keep on going.
You know, continuing our discussion here, and I have a question coming through on my emails now. What about pregnancy? You know, does our gut restoration work with pregnancy? And, you know, does our GI map, does that tell us anything? Is that something you would do it through pregnancy if there was some indication, doctor? Or would you put them off until, of course, the mother delivered?
No, I really feel like there's no better time than to support better gut health than during pregnancy. I mean, mom's body is literally feeding and growing and nurturing another little human. So the healthier we can keep the gut, the better nutrients are going to be absorbed and the better the body is going to detoxify. The biggest thing that we need to be careful with during pregnancy is we don't do any supplement recommendations. We can still start to look at restoring better gut health through dietary means, stress management, lots of other means, but supplements are usually contraindicated during pregnancy.
So that would watch from getting any additional type of medication. And, you know, I had another email here, doctor. What about in alcoholism? What if we have someone that maybe has cirrhosis of the liver, their gut, you know, and their stomach has been destroyed? Does your GI map pick up a lot of that, of damage and destruction to tissues and diseases like that?
Yeah, so the GI map doesn't necessarily look at liver health markers, but these are additional markers that we can examine through blood work. There is a marker called calprotectin that can help us understand the inflammatory load within the gut, because alcoholism can lead to high amounts of inflammation. It can lead to the breakdown of the gut lining. So, again, we can evaluate for leaky gut to see the extent of the breakdown and damage that high amounts of alcohol over time could have led to.
Yeah, so it's something. Have you seen alcoholics in your work?
I can't say that I've had a high number of alcoholics. I've worked with a couple patients that have had sort of fatty liver due to other reasons. But I can't say that we've worked with a high number of alcohol recovery patients.
Doctor, I have another question here. What's the role of probiotics in gut health?
Probiotics are feeding all the good gut bugs. So we need all of those good microbes. We need them to be strong and healthy and diversified. They not only help to support good gut health, but as we mentioned, there's a huge connection between the immune system and good gut health. There's a huge connection between the healthy microbes in the gut and even mental emotional health. There's a huge connection between the microbes of the gut and even sex hormone balance. I'm going to throw a word out there, the estrobilome. It's kind of a fun word, but that is a whole group of good gut bacteria. It quite literally helps to metabolize and break down excess estrogen in the system.
Wow. And, you know, do you ever do blood work, you know, from a functional standpoint, in addition to the diagnostic fecal testing?
Sometimes, yes. I mean, I kind of believe you can never have enough data. So if we start looking at different blood panels, like we mentioned, the liver health, liver enzymes, a CBC, a metabolic panel. We combine that with looking at the gut. Maybe we even dive into sex and stress hormones. That's a very nice broad approach because, again, all systems of health are interconnected. So the more data we can collect and the more systems that we can help to support, I feel the better we can help to support our patients in the holistic healing realm.
Sure. You know, doctor, I have another here. Tell me, the listener is saying, tell me about prebiotic use and probiotic use. Can you handle that?
Absolutely. So we just talked about those probiotics. We got to feed all the good, like we got to give the gut lots of bacteria. And then prebiotics are literally the food that the good bacteria eat and thrive on. So let's break that down again. Probiotics are literally giving the system good bacteria. Prebiotics are like the food that the bacteria needs to thrive so they can be super healthy.
Good. And, you know, as far as, again, a program of gut restoration, is this one thing that you would try to do, balancing these types of things, the probiotics with supplements? Is it a combination of many things that go into the mix?
Absolutely. We want to feed those good gut bugs. We want to make sure they're there and plentiful. And sometimes we do have to eliminate, kill off, or remove any bad bugs that might have snuck in the mix and are disrupting our microbial balance within the gut. And there are still a lot of holistic means that we can take to eradicate maybe any parasitic infections or yeasty overgrowth that could occur.
Good. And, you know, let's talk about timeline here. You know, if someone's having constipation, diarrhea, bloating, reflux, they're having pain in their stomach, irritable bowel, you know, they're having leaky gut. What does it look like, doctor, for a program to get people tuned up and start to feel better? What's the timeline for us?
So my gut restoration program is a 12-week program, so we're looking at about 3 months. Now, I'm very transparent with my patients. All of our work may not be done within 12 weeks, but 12 weeks is a reasonable amount of time to expect some level of improvement, some level of change. It might go beyond 12 weeks, but a resounding majority of patients will start to feel better. They will start to notice better bowel movements, less bloat. They will start to feel changes within those first 12 weeks.
And so that, can we assume that as the gut gets rid of inflammation, we start to get rid of whether it's bacteria or fungal or parasitic agents, we start to get some improvement in our gut health, and then no doubt our whole organism starts to feel better?
Oh, yes. I mean, inflammation is kind of like this trendy word, but inflammation equals stress, and inflammation is sort of kind of like the root of all evil. So as soon as we start to decrease that stress function and inflammation within the body, we can certainly expect the gut to feel better, but a lot of times, patients notice improvements in other areas of health that they may not have even expected.
Wow, what a win that is.
Absolutely.
And does restoration help to eliminate cancer in our gut?
No, we do not. We do not eliminate cancer in the gut. If we see any signs of cancer, we immediately refer out for, you know, continued testing, further evaluation. That is not our area of specialty. There are a number of health things that could pop up that would indicate immediate referral.
All right. So you're very cautious of the limits of what this program and what you're dealing with, you know, where the sweet spot is, so to speak, of taking care of your patients.
Oh, yeah, there is a time and place for all of us within the healthcare industry. And whenever I see a condition or I see findings that indicate a referral, I know when to refer my patients out. And I'm always happy to help, again, co-treat, support.
Sure.
Go
manage.
Be a co-treater in the background. But there's a time and a place where patients will sometimes need further medical care.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, with regard to all this, I have a few emails coming in now. Talk about weight loss. You know, getting the gut healthy, restoring it. Does that help our patients lose weight, lose inflammation, lose water weight. Is there a correlation with that?
Oh, yes, for sure. So I know we just talked about stress and inflammation, right? If the body is in a very stressed and inflamed state due to poor gut health, it kind of goes in like protective mode. There's a lot of like your body is in a high state of stress. Sometimes we call this sympathetic dominance. It can go into like a flight or fight state. And whenever your body is stuck in that state of stress and inflammation, your metabolism is going to be super bogged down. So whenever we start to alleviate that stress, alleviate that inflammation, heal the gut, get better bowel movements, release the water weight, yes, patients will often start to see some weight loss and sometimes see that metabolic shift. Now their exercise and their diet is paying off.
Yeah, I understand. So the better they feel there, it's going to reflect on other systems. And, you know, with regard to just a, something, you know, with regard to, say, implementation of a program like this, this is something that's not really an insurance-approved type program, is it? It's more something one would be kind of out of pocket for this kind of a health program. Am I understanding correctly with that, Caitlin?
That's correct. As of right now, there's not much available insurance coverage for functional diagnostic nutrition. This is why I'm able to offer my patients multiple payment programs, because often holistic health like this is out of pocket.
It's just like plastic surgery. You know, if you really want it, you know, you got to pay for it. And sometimes the insurance companies aren't sensitive to all that.
Precisely. But I don't feel like you can put a price tag on your long-term good health. So I'm always willing to help patients as much as I can to, you know, get the health that they deserve, take back control of their health.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, it sounds like what you're doing is phenomenal. Are there a lot of functional doctors doing this, or is this something that is really very, very limited, that a lot of doctors don't know about what you do or, you know, how to do this for their patients?
I think the functional medicine, practice is growing. I think it's becoming more talked about, more widely accepted. And I hope that continues to grow. I hope that continues to help more people, because as I mentioned, I feel like there's a time and a place for all different types of healthcare providers in the healthcare space. And we really can't deny that a healthy diet, exercise, stress and inflammation reduction by holistic means is beneficial for a majority of people. I think it's a growing, practice. I think it's a growing industry.
Beautiful. And, you know, Caitlin, I have a few emails here about obesity in children and young adults. Are you able to help, you know, teenagers or young adults, you know, even maybe younger children that have an obesity problem? Maybe they're not, you know, eating the right foods. They're not doing a lot of these things, or they have leaky gut. You know, can you help the younger part of our population?
Absolutely. All of these holistic lifestyle recommendations can be tailored to, you know, the age of each patient that I'm presented with. And the beauty of this GI MAP functional gut test is I've had mamas collect stool samples of even little babies so that we can evaluate their gut health. This test can really be valuable for any age of the patient.
Wow. I mean, that sounds super. And, you know, especially if you have a youngster that's not doing well, not, you know, keeping up in school well, you know, is eating, quote, junk food. We want to turn his health around. We want to improve his health overall. And are you able to do supplements on children as well?
I usually take a conservative approach to recommending supplements for my kiddos, but sometimes there's kid formulas or we can titrate the dosage. I do take a conservative approach, but with certain cases, I am recommending natural supplements for kids.
Okay, and are there supplements available, you know, on the market for children? I mean, is that whole industry catering, you know, to the whole realm then of people, or I always thought it was just adults, but with regard to children, is there, you know, nutrition supplements that are for children?
Yes, a lot of the medical grade supplement companies that I pull from and recommend from do have pediatric or kid supplements available. And again, they're looking at, you know, decreasing dosages and making sure that, you know, it's a little bit less potent than we would recommend for a 150-pound adult.
Sure. No, I understand. So there is that whole range. So our parents out there with children, if there is some issue that they are worried about that maybe isn't being handled by their pediatrician or their provider, that they may want to look at a functional provider, maybe to give another opinion or another point of view.
Absolutely, and it's very easy to focus on the obesity or maybe the struggles to lose weight. By talking to a functional practitioner, you might get, a bigger picture. Are there other areas of health, such as gut health, such as hormonal imbalances, that could be making weight loss difficult or hard despite your best efforts to eat healthy and exercise? So that's the other perspective. That's the additional point of view that a functional practitioner might be able to dive into with you.
Got it. And, you know, I think today there are so many options for foods, good foods, bad foods, you know, fatty foods, sugars. We need, what I see in my practice also, we need maybe more education for our patients with regard to food selection and, you know, trying to get the best food they can to make their body healthy. And it's just not food sensitivities, but it is, you know, fatty foods, sugars, alcohol, things like that, that let's get that out of our diet and let's replace these things with good nutritional food. Do you find that education maybe necessary also?
Absolutely. I feel like, unfortunately, the standard American diet is very carbohydrate, sugar heavy. So sometimes we need to go back to reevaluating, are you getting enough protein? Are you getting enough healthy fats? Do we have that balanced plate? And there's so many trendy diets out there, whether it be keto, paleo, FODMAP, gluten-free, dairy-free. It's never really a one-size-fits-all. So we need to look at, again, the health of the patient. We need to look at anything that could be awry in the gut or out of balance in their health history before we recommend one of these more specialized diets, because keto might really help somebody thrive and feel great. And then on the flip side, keto could be dangerous for some patients.
Got it. And, you know, with regard to just another email I just received, what about dogs? You know, do we need to go ahead in our pets? Do we need to look at this as well with regard to what we're feeding our pets? Is that something that, you know, practitioners look at? I've had email here that she has a vet that does nutritional testing with stool for her dogs. Is that something that kind of is bizarre? Would that be something that may be more mainstream for, you know, many people that love their pets?
Well, Dr. Greg, I do not work with dogs, but I have three golden doodles, so I am here for it. If I can help to support my doggies to have better health, if I can help them from the inside out by evaluating, their gut health, their nutrients, I'm here for it.
Wonderful. No, I agree with you. We love our pets as well. And, you know, again, we want the best for them in choice of diet. Dr. Caitlin, you know, the hour is almost over. It's been a great discussion. We've had a lot of interest in the program here. And, you know, Mr. Mancini will be here now saying, hey, it's time to close it up. You know, it's been fun. And nutrition, you know, is so important to our health. And, Caitlin, where do you think the education should come from? you know, where should we be teaching our children about protein, carbohydrates, sugars, fats? Where should that education come from so that we don't get them off the wrong road to begin with their health?
So the best thing that parents can do is lead by example. By you diving into your own gut health, by you working with a functional nutritionist, by you exercising regularly and choosing the fruits and veggies over chips, I mean, our younger population and our kids are going to see that and they're going to embody that. So I think it really starts with the parents. Whenever you start to embody better health, I mean, the kiddos will learn and they'll adopt and they'll see that as the normal best way to live.
And so it starts at home, as always, trying to teach good nutrition, good habits, good work ethic, good exercise. So it's the role of the parent that could be very important in the health of the next generation.
Absolutely. And functional practitioners like myself, other healthcare providers, we're here to support and educate and help you on that mission.
You know, when we use the word functional, Kaylin, where can our listeners find a functional practitioner? You know, how are they labeled? How are they advertised? You know, where are they?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. There are multiple titles that a holistic health practitioner can work under. For example, I'm a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. You might seek out a functional medicine practitioner. A lot of chiropractors, because we work in the health and wellness space, the holistic health and wellness space, because we've been educated in our doctorate program on diet and nutrition, there's a lot of chiropractors filling this space in healthcare.
Wonderful. So they can maybe go to their local chiropractor and say, hey, are you able to help me with this problem, with my bloating, as opposed just to giving an adjustment of the cervical spine. So they can use maybe the professionals they've already used.
Yes, and if that particular chiropractor is not doing functional nutrition services, they may indeed know somebody who is, because I do see it growing within the chiropractic profession.
Wonderful. Mr. Mancini, do you want to start to close the hour?
Yeah, with about 2 minutes and some change left, let's do a wrap on it. So to summarize it really fast, Kaylin, how would you put it in about 30 seconds to wrap this thing up and let the listeners know how they maintain their, stomach problems and stuff?
Absolutely. I feel like all healing begins in the gut. There's never been a better time to dive into your gut health, and I am more than happy to help you do that with my gut restoration program. If you'd like to get in touch with me or you'd like to learn more about my program, you can visit my website at www.flourishwellnesspractice.com. If you're on social media, I would love to connect with you and chat with you on Instagram. You can find me at gut.restoration.
Wow.
Excellent.
And Dr. Greg Roscoe, as we wrap it up with you, let everybody know your guest next week and how they can get a hold of you.
Wonderful. Listeners, you can get a hold of me at gjrmd308@outlook.com. Next week, we really have another superstar. That's Marianne Costello. And again, we're talking about, of course, our health, but we're talking about our mind. And kind of the topic next week will be spring cleaning our mind. Let's get our mind cleaned up and then maybe implement some of these great things that Dr. Kaylin has talked about. But it's about spring cleaning our mind, getting ready for the next season and the next area of our lives. And she's, as you know, Mark, she's a superstar, has her own TV show, does a lot of things. So she'll be on next Thursday night.
Okay, we got that all ready to rock and roll. For Kaylin Noduri, Dr. Greg Roscoe in the Pittsburgh area, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles producing it, Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms wherever you subscribe to podcast powered now by Mancini Media. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed one. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Dr.